Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I've got Sid and Lisette here, and we are tackling another part of the conversation. What do you do when your small group is out of control? And we have a couple of these because, friends, our small groups get out of control a couple different ways. Let's just be honest. And they turn out a little bit differently than maybe we were hoping for or expecting or had dreams for. And so today we want to talk about specifically unique circumstances. And we'll actually probably do a couple of these conversations because there certainly are unique situations that can pop up as a small group leader. You may not face it this year in your small group, but it might come up next year. Maybe you'll go a few years before you experience it, or maybe you get it all the time. But these unique experiences that we're going to talk about certainly are prevalent enough. It's worth talking about on a podcast.
Hey, listen, so, just to be honest about that, Jer, my son, who's right now, you know, he's going into full-time youth ministry. He's pretty excited about it. Just the other day, he said, "Hey, Dad, how come when I was in your youth ministry, like my small group was terrible? Like, why did you just set our small groups to be so bad?" That was right. So that was a special circumstance. And then he goes to me, goes like, "Dad, I got kicked out of our small group." Like, he literally got kicked out of it. And I'm like, "Yeah, son." And so I'm trying to help him have a bit of perspective. And then I'm also trying to be reflective and going, "Yeah, I probably missed on some of that stuff." So people, if small group time is a challenge for you, like I always think, you guys, small groups are like the greatest opportunity and the most significant challenge both at the same time. So we are sympathetic to the experience that you as volunteer small group leaders are going through. We get it.
I love it. Okay, so the particulars to this conversation, and I want to say up front, I apologize if I misstep with my words. I want to be very careful here in how I articulate this because I understand that the language matters, but I may miss. And so please show me some grace. You can send us a note and let us know if we articulated this in an inappropriate way. My contact info is in the show notes. But I want to talk about times where you've got a student that's in your group that's not really experiencing the group or isn't able to experience the group or doesn't want to experience the group in the way that you've kind of set it up. And so I'm thinking a lot about students that might be on the spectrum and kind of leaning to a direction where they might need a different environment to connect rather than the one that you've created. You know, students with other diverse abilities, that it's clear that the environment that we have in our small groups is just not conducive for them to engage into conversation or spiritually. And as a result, makes it a little bit almost awkward for you as the leader to sort out, what do I do here? Because I've got one student that has a different need in order to be connected here. And then this other group of students that we're trying to track with, and you're left wondering, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to show love? How am I supposed to lead when I've got this kind of unique situation? Now, it's not, again, super unique. There's lots of students with a wide range of abilities and different things that they are dealing with and tackling. And so if you go to any school in your town, you'll have lots of those students. They're in your community. So we want to have a safe space in our ministries and our churches where everybody can come and be a part of things. But what do you do when you realize, oh, this format that we have isn't as helpful for everybody? So let me start with Lisette. Has this been anything? Have you experienced this as a part of your ministry at any point?
I sure have. Just a few times.
I thought you were going to shake your head and said, "Oh, no, never."
I'm like, oh, so many times. And such an honor and a gift, honestly, that we get to walk with families and walk with kids that are experiencing all kinds of different things. But doesn't make for easy leadership sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be intense, like it can be really significant, but it could also be stuff that seems more, even mainstream in the conversation. You know, you might just have kids that learn differently and don't actually learn in the same way around in conversation or whatnot. And so students that need to move, all sorts of different things happen.
Yeah. All those different things. Yeah.
And Jared, can I just frame it? You guys frame it a little bit like this, like we are here for the good of all kids, right? Like we want to see all of our kids flourish. We know that we have certain environments, resources, situations that may not actually allow for kids to flourish well. And so we want to be honest about that and open about that as also. And there might be different elements within our environment that are make for better flourishing for the kids in our care. So I'll just be, you know, just to be honest, when we started at the camp where we where my wife works at right now, we had really low resources to begin with. We were starting from ground level up. And so when we had, you know, parents come with a child that needed one-on-one care for the whole time they were here, we just had to be really honest and say, we don't actually have those resources present. And that will mean that this won't be a healthy experience for your child simply because we don't actually have the resources for it. And we're sorry. We wish we could. We wish we did, but we don't. So I think if we have in our mind that we want to build spaces that are healthy for all kids, and maybe the healthiest thing sometimes is to go, okay, either A, if we have the resources and time to reframe a new space for that child, that'll be really great. And for the other kids that we have that we're called to care for as well, great. And there might be times where we have to just go, man, help us understand what we need to do, or is there something we could do, because we actually don't think we have the resources that are required, and we just want to be open and upfront about that as well. So I think we're asking for some real wisdom, some discernment, some self-assessment, and some humility, because there might be some changes we do need to make for the kids that God's placed in our care as well.
Yeah, that's so good.
You go ahead, Lisa, because I think I want to hear the specific examples. And this is tough because we want to obviously honor confidentiality of the families and students that we've worked with. So let's be clear that we'll change some things as we go. But like there are leaders, and as much as we are, you know, our first instinct will probably be like, hey, you should talk to your point leader. There's lots of point leaders who are like, I don't know what to do with this either. So when you've got, you know, your group, you're coming back to it and you're like, ah, this isn't quite hitting for everybody. What are some thoughts or ideas that we can do, Lisa?
Well, I do think, obviously talk to a point leader if you can. That's great. I would say talk to parents or guardians whenever humanly possible. Find out what's going on with the kid, right? Of the specific student, and be like, hey, I've just noticed when we're in group, you know, Joey has a harder time, and I don't know if it's because I don't know what I'm doing to communicate well. Like, I just don't know what would help. And you'll find a lot of parents are actually super helpful, right? They might be like, oh yeah, we've never really said this, but they have ADHD. They have a really hard time sitting still. Or hey, they actually have a learning difference and they have a hard time reading. And so they're always so nervous. You're going to ask them to read out loud. If you could not do that, that would really help. Or like, there's a lot of things that a parent or a guardian can often help you with. Sometimes they can't, or they won't. You just never know. But I would certainly say that's the first kick. Next thing is, if you have any relationship with schools, you could ask teachers, ask special ed teachers, ask people who are resourced to work with kids that have all kinds of different things coming into the mix, and try to figure out like, oh, is there something that I can do to better equip myself or this group to succeed? I think this is when kind of creativity and care kind of comes in. Like, what is the right thing to do to care for a kid? And I really appreciate, Sid, you saying, like, I had a family come to us a couple years ago that had a kid with pretty extreme needs. And honestly, I knew there was no way for us to care well for that child. And it was so hard for me to say to a parent, I'm really sorry, I don't think we're the right ministry. But I also was I tried to do my homework to know what other ministries were available in the neighborhood that might be a better fit, and tried to point them in a direction. But I had another scenario within the same year where I had a family come to us with a child with Down syndrome. And the mom just said, like, she's super social, loves to be really involved, but can be a little bit disruptive. And I said, okay, talk to me about what a little bit disruptive means, right? Because I know teenage girls, they can be a little disruptive just at the best of times, right? And so I was like, talk to me about more of what that means. And what I realized that was, our typical groups weren't going to be a best fit for her, but I had some students that would be a great fit for her.
Yes.
And so what I did was, we designed a whole other small group. And I actually made it a public announcement. I said, hey, we're starting a new group because we have a new friend coming and she would love to be in group. But we just know this is going to be a different kind of group. If that's something that, you know, your heart beats too, there are some teenagers that care a lot about creating space for kids that don't fit in typical spaces. And so we created a group that was all centered around this young lady, and we had a wild ride, let me tell you. But it was a year of so much growth and so much fun. And actually the kids who hopped into that group, it was surprising to watch what their hearts did in the midst of that and how God shaped them. So there's a lot of ways to slice it.
I love that so much.
That is so good. Sid, do you have some examples or some stories on things that you would do?
Yeah, first of all, I can't emphasize enough how great it is, I think, when we partner with parents. And if we can even position ourselves as learners with parents, not even if we can, we should position ourselves as learners with parents. You're going to open up like lines of communication that are going to be so helpful, build so much trust. Like, it's just going to be your best possible win forward. So do that. I think it's great. We had a young person who had, was in some unique circumstances, and we found that our group time wasn't working really well for him. And we were able to have a conversation with parents, and the young person loved being a part of the ministry. Group time didn't work at all, but we had our program director, who was really off the wall at ADHD, but was like really a wonderful person. And he just took that dude with him, and he became kind of like his helper for youth night, and could do all sorts of things that allowed him to, like, when things got too loud and crazy, he could put the earmuffs on that he needed, or have a specific task that he could focus on. And then when he needed other tasks to focus on, he could do that. So he really felt like he belonged. He felt like he added value, but we placed him in a unique space, and we were able to discover what that was in partnership with the parents. And I think we had a real win in that community. Both, like, all, like, that allowed for the whole community to have a win. And I do think that's a question that we're always asking, is what's going to be like healthy for all kids? And again, I think that this requires lots of wisdom, because, you know, you look at what you guys did, Lisette, I think it's so beautiful. What was healthy for a group of kids, for their spiritual maturity and growth, was for them to readjust their vision of groups around this young person. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be the same for all of our kids. Some of our kids aren't going to be in a space where they can do that. It's not going to be good for them or the young or the person that we're actually trying to, you know, journey with. So again, this isn't for the faint of heart. This does require wisdom, but we're called to this, and we're not alone. And I really think it's important to leverage the communities that we're in, the parents that we're engaging. Like understand that you don't have to bear the weight of responsibility solely on your own shoulders to come up with creative and healthy responses to the unique circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, it makes me think, Sid. I've had examples in one of my ministries where we had students, and this is a little bit different, but they were some of our more mature students. And yeah. I remember they would come to me and they would say, hey, like, our small group doesn't work because there's these immature students in the group and it's derailing the experience for me. And I saw it as an opportunity to work with this mature student to realize that their maturity wasn't as high as it could be. Because if you're the most you can be in terms of your maturity level, you are then seeing this opportunity to work alongside of somebody else that you might see as less mature than you, to help them in their journey and their faith. And in process, God might actually do a new work in your own heart that he wouldn't otherwise be able to do. So, that was a hit and a miss sometimes at trying to convince, some students of that. But it reminds me that I think you guys have both kind of said, we want to start the conversation with parents. So if you have a student that you know is a little bit unique or is struggling to be a part of the program, start the conversation with the parents. But then from there, you have to decide and do this in consultation with your point leader, with your other leaders, with, talk to other experts if you want. Is this something that we can change our current structure in order to facilitate the connection with this next person or make it better for them? And, you know, oftentimes that's something we should do. It's like, oh, you know, it would be easier if our group wasn't surrounded by distractions. So maybe we pick a different room and all of a sudden this student or these few students are now more engaged. So sometimes changing our group is for the best. But other times it's like, we can't change this enough for the person. So can we create another space that works for them to be discipled? Because we obviously care deeply about all students in our community. And so can we have space where every student, if they came, would be able to experience God's grace and community and that sort of thing? I think those are the two main questions. Is that fair? Or is there other directions that it could go, Lisette? I think that's probably, Lisette's nodding, yeah.
Yeah, no. I realize nobody can see that. I think that's right, right? If every young person is created in the image of God, then it is our job to love them and care for them and to create the best space for them. And the best space is not always the usual space that we use for everybody else, right? And so that's how you try to figure it out. We want to set every kid up to win as much as possible. And so what does a win-win look like in unique circumstances? Takes a little dose of extra wisdom, a lot of prayer, probably a lot of research and questions, partnering with families as best as you can, and then making the best decision you possibly can, right? And adjust as needed.
Yeah. And you know, this will stretch and shape all of us in the process, but that's what God's at work doing. He's stretching and shaping all of us, and that's okay. So you're not alone. Like, volunteer youth worker, I know you're not alone. I know these are challenging spaces to try to wrestle through, but it's okay. God has, you know, God, I really believe God sovereignly called us into these places, and His Spirit will guide us, especially in the context and counsel of community that's around us. And especially, I don't think I can say it enough, Lisette, we've said it multiple times, Jer, hey, if we can have a conversation with parents, it's amazing how we can work together to find really good solutions to the issues that feel really overwhelming in these types of circumstances.
Yeah, this might be more for the point leader than the volunteer, but if you're up against a, you know, a unique situation and you're like, I don't know if we can make this work for, you know, this family, I think just to make sure you brainstorm and understand what it would take to actually work it out, because anything is really possible. Like, gosh, if they can put a man on the moon, then surely you can figure out how to do ministry to everybody in your community. But it might require more resources or more people power or more space than you actually have access to. But as long as you know that, then you can enter the conversation with like a family or a parent or other students and say, hey, we would love to be able to create the space. Here's what I think we need. Does that sound right to you? You know, we might need somebody that can be a helper for them, or we might need a space where they can experience our service, but on a lower decibel level, or we might need, you know, whatever it might be. And so that's the goal. And then you can talk about the steps that you're able currently to take to get to it, but you might need some help in order to get all the way there. And I think some, you know, folks that are willing to help along the journey so that that could actually become a reality, those will be great allies because they're with you. They get it. But sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I understand how that's not possible. You know, we had not a student, but one of the churches I worked at, a guy that couldn't experience anything above about 65 decibels, which is kind of like normal loud conversation. Anything above that, and it was like it was actually a medical issue, and it basically couldn't be there. And so we just realized, oh, if that's your limit, our spaces, because there's so many people in them, aren't going to be able to match that. But can we create another environment where it might be still okay for you to experience, you know, community? But being able to recognize that sometimes you have to take dramatic adjustments in order for it to actually work for somebody. And that's okay. You just got to be able to talk openly about it, I think.
Great. That's great.
Okay. Last word. Let's give it to you, Lisette.
Whew. Thanks for doing what you do. We realize that sometimes it's harder than anything you signed up for, but you have no idea what your care and attempt to love all kids and all types of kids and all types of families can mean for them understanding a God that will always pursue them and always care for them.
Brilliant.
And will always make a way for them. And so what you show in the hardest moments actually shows a lot about who God is. So keep on.
Yeah. Brilliant. And I should say, we'll drop a note in the show notes for Capernaum, a ministry to Young Life that is phenomenal. Excellent. And they love, if you've got specific scenarios, I mean, you're welcome to get in touch with us, but honestly, we'll end up connecting you with probably Kathy Doubledam and the team at Capernaum, because they know exactly how to process these kinds of things and are working with ministries all over our country, Canada, to make sure that we've got space for everybody in our community to get to know who Jesus is. So that's great. All right. Well, we'll see everybody back another week for another episode of the Youth Ministry Team Podcast. Thanks for listening, folks. Blessings on your ministry. You're making an eternal difference, and we love that you care so much about teenagers. We'll see you next time.